So I invite you to grab your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 23. This morning we'll be focusing especially on verse 3 of that psalm. Psalm 23. Before we turn our attention to God's Word, however, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, it's our prayer that You will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that ultimately we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, Psalm 23 builds our trust and our confidence in the Lord as our shepherd. The words of this psalm have been framed and hung in hospital rooms. They've been set to music in hundreds of songs. They've been scratched into prison walls. They've been recited by the youth and whispered by the dying. This is where we find our true comfort and our rest in the Lord who is our shepherd. And this morning we focus especially on the last part of verse 3 there. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, whenever paths are mentioned in the Bible, they're usually associated or connected with a journey, going somewhere. And most often they're used as a picture or a metaphor of our Christian life, our Christian journey, our walk with the Lord. You can think of Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you jump to the end, and He will make your paths straight. Describes the course of our life, the direction we're headed, the path that we're taking. Now, David uses this picture, this metaphor of a shepherd guiding his sheep as a way to describe that the Lord is our shepherd. And it's a way of describing His relationship with us and the way that He guides and directs and leads us through life. Now, I've been told that sheep aren't the smartest of animals in the world. They tend to wander, they tend to stray. The shepherd might bring them to the best grazing land available, lots of abundant water, and they tend to wander from tuft of grass to tuft of grass until they're far from the rest of the flock. As they're being moved from one pasture to the next, they might see one tuft of grass and go and eat that, and then they see another one over there, and before they know it, the flock is long gone. They've wandered the opposite direction and fallen into a rocky canyon. And out of all of the animals that David could have picked to describe himself and to describe the rest of us, he chose sheep. Sheep who need to have a shepherd, leading them, guiding them, providing for them, and caring for them. Out of all of the animals, David chooses to describe himself as a sheep, and the rest of us as well, not the smartest animals in the world, prone to wander, in need of guidance. And it points to our complete dependence on our shepherd. It points to how much we need the Lord. But it also points to the confidence and the assurance that we have in the Lord as our shepherd. He is our shepherd. And because of that, we can have that assurance, that confidence of our deliverance, of our salvation, because He is the one who is leading and guiding us for His name's sake. This morning we'll be looking at, first of all, His leading, secondly, His righteousness, and we'll wrap up with His name as we look at verse 3 of Psalm 23. So first, his leading. Philip Keller, I've mentioned him before. He's a pastor who, before becoming a pastor, was a shepherd for about 8 years, I think, in East Africa. And he points out how sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left alone, they're going to follow the same trails until those trails become ruts. And they're going to graze on the same hills until there's no grass left. They'll actually eat the grass down to the root and then paw out the root and eat that as well. So you're left with a desolate wasteland. They pollute their own ground until it's full of parasites and disease. And just as sheep, just like sheep, and how they blindly follow one another along the same little trails until they become ruts that erode into gullies, in the same way we cling to those same old habits. We're creatures of habit. We do the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm not talking about you guys often sitting in the same pew or in the same chair, because that's what you've done last week and the week before. We slip into those old habits of sin. Habits that we've seen destroy the lives of others, but for some reason we've convinced ourselves that we're smarter. That's not going to happen to me. It'll be okay for me, even though it's destroyed the lives of so many others. And we do the same thing again and again and again. We know it's wrong. We know that God tells us not to. We've seen it destroy other people's lives, but we do it anyway. Each of us has turned to his own way, Scripture tells us. Which simply means that each of us are doing what we want to do instead of following the leading of the shepherd. Proverbs 14 verse 12 and also Proverbs 16 verse 25 says it like this: "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." I have figured it out. We have figured it out. This is what I want to do. If it feels good, do it. If I want it, how can it be wrong? And so in light of that, people of God, what path are you on this morning? Are you following the path that the rest of the sheep are walking on, following the crowd, the path of the world? Is there a noticeable difference from the path that you are leading and the path that the rest of the world is following? Maybe you're on the same path that leads to that destruction talked about in Proverbs. Maybe you've convinced yourself that it's going to be different for you. As a sheep, you're smarter than the shepherd is. Somehow you know better. You won't get lost. You won't wander. What we need to realize is that the world we live in is broken. It's full of brokenness, broken homes and broken hearts and ruined lives and twisted personalities and confused genders. And they all remind us of those who have gone their own way, those who have done what they thought is best instead of being led by their shepherd. We have a sick society, a struggling culture, struggling to survive on wasteland. We're proud. We're self-sufficient. And we're too stubborn to admit our need for a Savior, for a shepherd. And that Savior, that shepherd, as we know, is Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. And he's the one who comes to us in our stubbornness and in our rebellion and says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Instead of choosing my own way or choosing your own path, are we willing to follow Christ? Are we willing to let him lead? Are we willing to simply do what he asks? And what I'm talking about here is just straightforward obedience. I do what he says. I go where he leads. The words that come out of my mouth are pleasing to my shepherd. Now, most of us as sheep know this. I mean, we hear God's will for our lives every Sunday. We know it. The question isn't knowledge. We know what it looks like to walk the paths of righteousness. We know what it looks like to follow God's will. The question isn't the knowledge. The problem is my obedience, a willingness to follow where I'm being led. Because the one who decides to do what God asks is the one who is moving on to the fresh green pastures, following the shepherd's leading. And that's why it's our prayer, "Lead me, Lord. Lead me in your paths of righteousness." And we see that request, we see that prayer scattered throughout the Psalms, a request of God's leading and his guiding in his righteousness. Psalm 5 verse 8, for example, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make straight your way before me." And you're going to hear the reflection of what David's saying in verse 3 in these Psalms. Psalm 31, verse 3, since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Psalm 139, here's a familiar one. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your hand will lead me. Same Hebrew word here as in Psalm 23, verse 3. Your right hand will hold me fast. And then you get to the end of that psalm. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Notice the themes that are being repeated there. Lead me in your righteousness. Make straight your way. Let your hand guide me. Lead me in the way everlasting. That's the prayer. That's the request. And the question is, how does God answer this prayer for leading in paths of righteousness, leading and guiding in the way everlasting? What's the answer? Not only to David's prayer for leading and for righteousness, but our prayer as well. Our prayer for God's leading us in paths of righteousness. His leading. And secondly, this morning, his righteousness. When we look at paths of righteousness as they're mentioned here in Psalm 23, it might be a little vague or unclear. What are we actually talking about when you're talking about paths of righteousness? The right path or the paths of righteousness, there's actually a double meaning here. The metaphor of paths of righteousness ultimately points to that journey that we are on, the movement of the Christian life. As we walk with the Lord, the right paths, the paths of righteousness. But as soon as we start thinking about paths, the paths of righteousness, or the right path, the next question that kind of creeps into our mind in an almost panic state is, well, what path is the right path? What if I'm not on the right path? How do I figure out the right path? How do I know which one it is? How do I know that I'm on the right one? We have so many decisions to make. It kind of falls into the same category when we freak out about what major am I going to have and what if I can't figure out? Or the rest of us, the rest of our major life decisions, decisions about our work, decisions about our family, decisions about our life. What path is the right one? So what is this path of righteousness? Is it the path that leads to heaven? Is it the path or the journey of our life? Is it the path of righteousness? Is it God's will, that path of righteousness? Is it talking about the righteousness that is ours in Jesus Christ? And the answer to each of these questions is yes. These are all accurate understandings of the metaphor that David is using here, an explanation of the life of following the Lord, the righteousness that is ours in Jesus Christ. And the thing that we have to check isn't our answer to the question of what are these paths of righteousness, but rather that fear in our hearts of, am I on the right path? Have I chosen the right path? And what is that right path? I don't want to be on the wrong path. Because those questions are expressing is not a confidence and an assurance and a trust in the Lord as our shepherd, but rather a fear that I might not get this right. I might be going in the wrong direction. And that, people of God, misses the point of what God's Word is telling us this morning. It's kind of like if you're in the middle of Sioux City or Sioux Falls for the first time and your cell phone dies and you're trying to get somewhere and all of a sudden you have no map, you have no GPS. Or, for those of you who still use the paper map, it blew out the window and you have no idea where you're going. And that moment of panic of how am I going to get around, how am I going to find my location, how am I going to get back home? David's confidence in Psalm 23 here, it's not because David has found and discovered the right path and is keeping himself on the right path on his own. His confidence, his assurance is in the Lord who leads him. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He guides me for his name's sake. People of God, who is the one who's guiding you no matter what you face? It's the Lord. As your shepherd. Who is your shepherd? The Lord. Who is the one who is always with you? Who is the one who makes you, causes you to lie down in green pastures, causes you to walk beside still waters, causes you to walk in paths of righteousness? It's the Lord who is your shepherd. in this life, you are not walking on the paths of righteousness because you have discovered it. You have figured it out. You're on the right path. You know which one to go down. You're on the path of righteousness because the Lord is your shepherd. It's the result of Him leading you. It's the result of Him guiding you. And it's the good shepherd who comes along and says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's the comfort and the assurance that we have. Even when this path goes straight through the valley of the shadow of death, we know that it will be okay because it is the Lord who is our shepherd who is there leading us and guiding us. And we know how the story goes, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how it ends. That's where this path is headed. And we get there because of the Lord who is our shepherd. And so, people of God, in those moments of life, when we're completely overwhelmed, when decisions become daunting and we aren't sure what the Lord has in store for us next, the one thing that we do know is that it's going to be okay because the Lord is our shepherd. We know that it's going to be okay because He promises to never leave us or forsake us. And we know it's going to be okay because He is the one who is leading and guiding us in paths of righteousness. And even that righteousness is something that He provides for us. The perfect righteousness of Christ, because our shepherd has gone there, done that first. Has earned that righteousness in our place and has given it to us. It is His righteousness that is ours when we place our faith in the Lord who is our shepherd. And when that describes you, when you are described as someone who places their faith in Jesus Christ, then you are on those paths of righteousness because the Lord is your shepherd. And along with that comes that confidence, that assurance, and it puts everything else in our life back into perspective. In this psalm, there are echoes of the exodus from Egypt. David here is picking up echoes of God's people being brought through the wilderness. When we're talking about God's leading and His guiding His flock, you can think back to Him leading and guiding His people through the wilderness after they were delivered from Egypt. Actually, Psalm 77 describes them. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. It's the Lord as the shepherd who's leading and guiding His people through the wilderness. Just a small example of His shepherding care for us as well. But what's helpful when we look back to the people of God in the wilderness is that they had moments when they panicked as well. And it usually happened when they forgot who was the one leading and guiding them, who the shepherd was, who's right there with them. When the Egyptians are pursuing and attacking and they want to go back to Egypt because there's onions and leeks there, they're forgetting who their shepherd is. And the same is true for us. But the other thing that's helpful is that when you look back at the Lord's faithfulness as He's delivering His people from Egypt and through the wilderness, what we see is His faithfulness, is His deliverance. He brought them safely home to the promised land. And David not only is looking at his own life and all that God has done and His faithfulness there, but he can reflect all the way back to the Old Testament and all of the events of God and His faithfulness with His people leading and guiding them. And we, this side of Christ, have even more of an advantage, an even larger history of redemption as we look back and we see the fullest expression of God's faithfulness and His leading and His righteousness in Jesus Christ. We see a full expression of what it means for us to say, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Because of the righteousness that is ours in Christ. Because God has sent His one and only Son, our Good Shepherd, to give up His life so that we could be brought home to be with Him. His leading, His righteousness. And as we wrap up this morning, we'll be looking at His name. For His name's sake, this is often the piece of Psalm 23 that we often just kind of brush over. Well, for Jesus' sake, amen, in His name's sake. But what's going on here? What is David getting at when he includes that for His name's sake? And the question that gets at that truth, that reality is, why does God save us? Why does God deliver us? How would we answer that question? Why are we on the paths of righteousness? Now, there's many good biblical answers to that question. Well, he saves us because he loves us, because Jesus died for us. He paid the price for our sins because I believe in him. But the highest answer, if I could put it in that way, the highest answer for the salvation that is ours, the highest answer for God saving us, is because of his name's sake. It's for the sake of his name that he saved us. Psalm 79, verse 9. Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Psalm 109, verse 21. But you, O Sovereign Lord, deal well with me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. There we have deliverance for your name's sake. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. That's Psalm 31, verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because of who he is, because of what he does, because of his name, he is leading me in paths of righteousness. If you have your Bibles in your lap, flip over to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, just to bring this point home. We still have enough time this morning. And Stephen said that if it's good, it's okay if we go over a little bit. So this is going to be good. Ezekiel 36. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is 36 verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it's not for your sake, O house of Israel. So here the situation is he's about to bring them out of exile. They've been sent away because of their sin. They're being brought back. And God is saying, it's not for your sake that I'm about to do this, that I'm about to act, but rather it's for the sake of my name, my holy name, which, by the way, you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations by you and which you have profaned among them. So God's about to deliver his people, not because of them, but because of his name that is connected to them. They're known as God's people. Oh, those are God's sheep over there. And God's going to deliver them, bring them back because of his name. They've done exactly the opposite of earning this deliverance. They've actually profaned the name. And now God, for the sake of his name, will bring them back. Verse 24, I will take you from the nations. Here we have the spiritual restoration that God will accomplish. And gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart. Here we're talking about regeneration and sanctification. And a new spirit I will put in within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Paths of righteousness, you could say. And be careful to obey all of my rules. Look at that spiritual reality of what is taking place. It's regeneration. It's sanctification. It's the work that the Lord is accomplishing. Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And then Ezekiel, as he's describing this, brings in the sheep metaphor. Because how could you not include sheep here? Thus says the Lord God. This also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. To increase their people like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during the appointed feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of people, and they will know that I am the Lord. Who is the one accomplishing this? It's God. God is the one doing this. He's taking them back. He's restoring them. He's cleansing them. He's making them as numerous as sheep, like flocks. Why? For his name's sake. I want you to know, he even tells them, I want you to know, this isn't for you. I'm not doing this because of you. I'm doing it for my name's sake. I'm doing this for the sake of my holy name, which you've profaned among the nations where you've gone. It's not because of anything in and of ourselves, people of God. It's not because we are so worthy, but because God is. And because he's placed his name on us, because we belong to him. Now, just as a side note, there is a sense in which God is doing this because of his love for us, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and I don't want us to forget that. But what we so often run into, especially in our culture, is we emphasize that aspect, that it's all about me. It's almost like you see this cute little puppy and you can't help but love it. And wow, it must have been something in and of myself that God couldn't help but love me. After all, I mean, have you seen me? He owes me. And what's refreshing about what Ezekiel in Psalm 23 is saying is that it's not about you. It's for his name's sake. The Hebrew way of writing really puts things in a stark contrast when it comes to just bluntly saying that no, it's for the sake of his name that he saves us. And it's nothing in and of ourself. It's for my name's sake that I will deliver. It's for the sake of my name that I will save. And what's so beautiful about that is that next week we get to celebrate baptism. Because along with God's name comes all of his promises to save, his promises to deliver, the cleansing, the washing, the restoring. Not for your sake, not because you are so great or have accomplished so much or deserve it, but for the sake of his name. And we have been given his name, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And along with that name, for the sake of his name, comes the cleansing, the restoring, the leading, the guiding, the saving. Not because we have done anything. I mean, beautiful expression of an infant not even being able to walk up the steps. Completely dependent on mom and dad. And that's the reality for us and our complete dependence on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our good shepherd, who we depend on to lead us, to guide us, to provide for us, to save us. And that, people of God, is where the assurance of our salvation comes from. That confidence. We don't get to the end of the line, well, I hope I was good enough to make it to the house of the Lord forever. No, well, it's not about you. We can confidently know I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of the Lord who is my shepherd, because of Jesus Christ, for the sake of his name, the salvation that God is accomplishing. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the profound assurance, the profound comfort that we have. We can be sure of our salvation because it is God who is guiding us for the sake of his name. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's his guidance. It's his righteousness. It's his name for our salvation. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, for the blessing that is ours in Jesus Christ. For the righteousness that is ours, the salvation that is ours, because you have given us your name. And Lord, we're so thankful that it doesn't end there, because you are the one who is leading us and guiding us in these paths of righteousness. And it's our prayer, Lord, that when we stray, because we all do, that you will bring us back as our good shepherd, and that you will continually lead us and guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, hear our prayer, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.